And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new week, a new day, and thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Welcome to the show. Hope you're having a good one out there. Got your host, James, here. I am joined by our head news. That doesn't sound right. Head of news.
And our head news today. Your head of news is tired.
Melissa Kay joins us.
Good morning.
Our head of production and our co-host, Seth Havhager.
Good morning.
The best listeners in radio, along with all of that. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Let's go ahead and get things going with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, how's Mother Nature doing today?
Bringing the heat. That's what she's doing.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Stormy overnight.
Ooh.
How was your weekend, Brittany?
It was great. You know, I went to the Dells. I went to a water park, had a blast, and then I did some stand-up paddle boarding out on the lake as well.
Wow.
So just really a lot of water activities. Taking the last little bit of summer and using every bit of it, right?
Yeah. Oh, that sounds
so
awesome.
The weather is perfect for water sports, too. I mean,
absolutely.
She's smart, you know?
Very, very intelligent weekend by you, Brittany. That's awesome. So we're looking at a hot one today.
Yes, we are going to spike to high temperatures of about 95 degrees. Under sunny skies with high, hot humidity, it's going to be pretty much Wisconsin's like a frying pan today. So we've got heat advisories, heat warnings all across the state. What it's going to be feeling like in Wisconsin Rapids today is probably 105 degrees when you factor all of that in. Ooh. 105.
Whoa.
Ooh. Yikes. That's hot.
Yeah. And then
are these normal highs for this time of year, Brittany?
Oh, no. We're supposed to be in the mid-70s right now.
Oh, so dear.
This is an extreme heat wave for where we should be for right now.
Holy cow.
Did anybody tell Mother Nature?
I don't think they did.
I don't know she knows. Maybe
this is
just
a hot flash, James. Oh, Mother Nature is in
never
menopause.
Never mind. I apologize. I am so sorry for bringing it up, Mother Nature. Completely. Thank you for everything. Thank you. You look great today, by the way, Mother Nature. You look great.
Well, she's mad at you for saying that because we are in a slight risk for severe weather. So she's going to strike back overnight and early tomorrow morning, where we could see a bow echo go through, which would mean some 60 to 75 mile per hour winds and heavy downpours bringing 1 to 2 inches of rainfall. So we've got to, you know, get through the hot day with the AC just blasting, and then we've got to get through tonight without losing power because it's still going to be hot tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Rats, that was my next question. Is the rain going to cool us off? And the answer is
no.
No.
Thank you, Brittany. We appreciate you so much. Have a great, great day out there, and we will get people ready for tomorrow.
Sounds good. Stay cool.
You too.
Thank you.
Best in the business right there, friend Brittany Merlot, taking good care of us with Mother Nature right there. We got good things coming up for you, everybody. In a little bit, we're going to talk about terms that maybe we shouldn't be using anymore. Or should we or shouldn't we be using them?
The question is.
Is it okay to lie to your friends about the time an event starts? That is coming up a little bit later.
What?
And 2 out of 5 people think being rude to AI might backfire one day. It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
We have got a great 9 o'clock hour to kick off for you with the kitchens open. Wonderful segment that Melissa has planned for us today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. We'll get into a little entertainment news afterwards. And a little bit later, Melissa and I started this one, Seth, and we'll continue with the three of us. Okay, 15 old people things that millennials agree with.
All right.
We had some fun with this one last week.
We need
week.
The oldest person in the room to help us do the rest of that segment.
Got a lot of fun things there going on to get into. But let's get into the weekend. How was everybody's weekend? Seth, how was yours?
It was good. I got to spend a little time at the fair on Saturday. Not nearly as much as Melissa did, but this whole last week. But I got to be there for a little while, and it was good. Good seeing the people out there. It was started the heat wave kind of, so it was a little bakey in the expo center there, but not bad at all. It was very enjoyable. I got to tell you, when you bring a spinny wheel to a fair, man, the kids come running.
Yeah, yeah,
the kids
do.
Really love spinning those wheels, man. So that was kind of fun. That was new, getting them to come over for that. So, but yeah, no, it was a good weekend.
Very cool. And did you get any fair food?
I did very little, but yeah, I got a little teeny bit when I was leaving, so that
good,
was good.
Good, very good. And I know that you were there. You and Melissa were there a bit. I know, mm-hmm. Melissa, you were putting in full-time hours all week at the fair.
She was.
Gigantic thank you for that, Melissa. Did you have a good time?
Oh, for sure. It was. It was a lot of fun to talk with listeners and hear their feedback about our stations. The spinning wheel definitely brought them in. Not just the kids, too.
That's true.
Lots of adults walked up, can I spin the wheel? Sure, absolutely.
Almost sheepishly,
please,
yes.
Do. Yeah, yeah. Like they were, you know, afraid they couldn't. Does it cost anything?
Yeah. I got that a few times, too. It was like,
but you might win something.
That's true.
Well, because some of the booths had, like, they used it as a promo kind of, like, I don't know. You could get money off of if you purchase this kind of thing. So
gotcha.
Very cool.
But no, it was fun. It was a good time. It was starting to get warm. I was very grateful for Seth to come and take over for me on Saturday. but it was a good time. I'm really glad to get out there and talk with our listeners.
We are so thankful to the Central Wisconsin State Fair, mm-hmm. and to Civic Media for giving us the opportunity to be able to do that. Great big shout out to everybody involved, especially all the people working behind the scenes over at that mm-hmm. fair that do such great work.
Yeah.
Huge shout out to Chris, the mm-hmm. coordinator. She is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good time. Looking forward to being back there next year and fair season next year again. You know, and having more of that. That was a blast.
Yeah, we're winding down.
Yeah, yeah. A really, really fun weekend and a really fun time over there at the fair. Thank you again to everybody who hosted. And a really big thank you to our Civic Media team and personally here to our staff here. Everybody working behind the scenes, Pam, Ashley, both mm-hmm. of you, and so many other of people just working hard to make mm-hmm. that happen. Mm-hmm. Nice work, everybody. Nicely done. Nicely done, everyone. Well, what's that? What's that?
James, what did you do this weekend?
Oh, yeah, how was mine? It was great. It was awesome. I got to go out of town. I want to say something real quick because I am the first one to admit that I do need to vacation and I do need mm-hmm. to take some time
breaks.
Off and everything. That's important and stuff. I have found a way this summer to do both. To continue to work and to find work while also having some breaks thrown in there here and there.
How does he do it?
I've gotten to do something that I haven't probably done since I was a little kid. I got to start my summer and end my summer going to Chicago.
Oh, ooh. Hey.
Nice.
Been there twice this summer. Been to Madison twice. Been to Appleton once. Stevens Point about 19,000 times. So I've been bopping around, all mm-hmm. right? I've been doing some stuff.
We'll travel,
maybe.
Keep
it a little bit.
We'll take it.
A little bit. I do want to say that one of the best things about going to Illinois is passing through Madison and going past the ABS sign. I get a
That's
kick.
That's always fun.
I get a kick out of that sign every dang time. I want to send a shout out to those people.
So clever.
And the great marketing or whoever does that.
Yeah.
I don't know who does. I want to get them. I want to interview that person. Whoever does the sign for ABS, I want to interview them. I thought that was really cool. It was a great time. I love my city. I'm not going to lie. But I know I'm doing a radio here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying not to do this very often. But to me, it's the greatest city in the world. And I love it so much. It was a blast. Down there was a really fun time. Saw some really good bands. A shout out to Incubus and Coed Cambria. Very fun time there. I know that as fun as I had was a pales in comparison to what Laura enjoyed. I didn't know she could float, but somehow she was not only glowing but floating at the same
time.
Awesome. Shout out to our newest staff member, Laura. Newish. I mean, she's not new anymore. She's been here a while. And it was a blast. We had a really good time. Enjoyed a bunch of people had a good time. I do want to say one thing that I noticed, though. I've been playing this game. I've been doing a lot of traveling throughout my life. This trip in particular from Central Wisconsin to Chicago, I have made I don't even know what number to throw out there as an exaggerative joke. Mm. If I said 200 times, that would probably that sounds low to me. I've been literally making this trip my whole life, 47 years. So I don't even know a ballpark number to say. But my favorite game to play when I was a kid was we would have this, my papa and I would have this game of who could count the most, get the most states off of license plates.
Oh, yes. Yep.
I've shared with you all, I lost my papa recently. We lost my papa mm-hmm. recently. And I don't, you know, the game now means a little different to me. I'm playing it, and I'm still playing it with him. I just don't know if he's whooping me or not. I got to say, this time, Iowa, Nevada, Kentucky, Nebraska, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Virginia, in California.
Nice.
It might have been my best one. One of my best ones.
That's like, pretty good for a short trip. Yeah.
Pretty good list. Pretty good list. It was a fun time. Wherever you are, if you are living in your hometown right now, congratulations. That's really cool. Mm. Enjoy. Certainly travel is great because it can help you remind you how much you miss your own bed, miss your own hometown. But if you haven't been there in a while, Seth, I know you can touch on this a little bit with your recent vacation and everything. There is something about being in your home area.
Yep.
I couldn't put my finger on it my whole life, and I think I finally figured it out. You know that feeling when you have a friend who – I've been on both sides of this, but when you have a friend who's got your back – who's like standing right there in a situation you need him to. Or maybe you're standing behind your friend or something when they need you to. That feeling, that confidence that comes from that, that's how I feel when I'm in Illinois.
Yeah,
and that's I think a feeling that I think a lot of people can relate to. So if you haven't been to your hometown in a while, I encourage you to reach out, get out there, check it out, visit, travel, people,
see
travel.
What has changed.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, and just in general, just travel.
Right.
We passed so many signs of so many wonderful Wisconsin exhibits and different things going through, getting back here to Central Wisconsin, Cave of the Mounds, House on the Rock. There's so many cool things to check out. Explore your state, enjoy your state, and take in these last days of that Mother Nature are giving us of summer, although they're awfully hot.
All true, James, except if your hometown is Toma, then there's no point to go.
Oh, my God, shot fired. Whoa.
Where did that even come from?
It's a Monday morning.
and to be fair, I only graduated high school there. I grew up in Sparta.
Oh, see, you're safe then. So you're good.
Nicely done.
They are the biggest rivals in the area.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I remember that.
I'm always conflicted.
I wanted to wrap up our opening monologue here with great road games. Great road games. And how many of these are still played?
Ooh.
I mentioned the States games that my pop and I used to play. There was always I Spy. Nana liked that one. Mm-hmm. So her and Jillian would play that game. Well, I Spy with my little eye. You know, what is that? There's 20 questions. I don't think we ever really did that one, but it's coming up in a search and I'm looking at here. The alphabet game.
Yeah, I was going to say the alphabet game. We always did that one, especially on our way home from school. Mm. There was only one Q on the road. So it was a battle to get to that point before you got to that sign and then be the first one to see it. I always lost because I had terrible vision.
Oh. Plan for this one, people. I will tell you, plan. If you go to a place that doesn't have a lot of signs, or you're going to miss, doesn't have enough of that one letter, you're going to be waiting for a very long time. Because that's what happened when we were on the North Shore. No cues.
Have you heard of car bingo? It sounds like the same, almost the same thing as the alphabet game, just a little different. Players make a list of things they might see on the trip and mark them off as they spot them.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. I never did that one.
You can get boards where you can just they have it all preset for you that you can check them off. Yeah.
I like the scavenger hunt one, too, I'm seeing here. Players keep track of the things they see during the trip, and the winner may receive a prize or choose a restaurant where to go to eat.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the prize being you get to choose where you eat. That's a cool idea.
Not if the kid wins and you have to go to McDonald's.
Every time.
Every time. You're going to Chuck E. Cheese, baby. Every time. Or whatever business sounds like weirdest. if you're in Texas, you're going to Whataburger. You're definitely going there. You're definitely going to places like that. A big thank you again to everybody that helped with the Central Wisconsin State Fair. I did want to wrap up on that because that was a blast. We had a great time with that.
We did.
We will get to our timeout. We'll come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's the morning show featuring Seth, Melissa, and James on WFHR, locally grown radio. It's time to do some celebrating. We encourage you to treat yourself and head on over to El Cafe. Let them know it's their day when they open their doors on Tuesday.
That's right.
Yes, we encourage you
get a day off,
on Tuesday to head on over to El Cafe and get your appetite ready and bring your smiles with you because it's going to be a good time over there at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us and enjoy some El Cafe tomorrow when they open their doors. Keep that in mind, everybody. They'll be open 7 to 2 tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you. Let's dive into our list. Before we do, remind you that we want your birthdays and anniversaries. Bring them to us, everybody. Info@WFHR.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can, of course, email any of our staff that way, like melissa.k@civicmedia.us or seth.havhager@civicmedia.us. Reach out to us anytime, everybody, as long as you know how to spell our last names.
I was going to say, Melissa's probably your best bet there. It's the easiest spell last name.
We encourage you to do so. Of course, you can also hit us up on our Facebook pages. Just type in your search bar, WFHR or WIRI, and like our page, and go ahead and send us a message and call up.
That's right, 715-424-2600.
Look forward to hearing from you, everybody. Call up and join the conversation.
You had a call on Friday, didn't you? Someone called in during the birthday part. That was so cool.
That was very cool. That was awesome. We had a good one, too. It was a very good call. Keep those calls coming, everybody. Seth, I need a 1 through 3.
2.
All right. Gives us that qualifier so we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a happy birthday to Heather Caruso.
Happy birthday, Heather.
Happy birthday, Heather.
Enjoy your day, Heather. Wishing you the best of days. We wish a very happy birthday to Ben Sampson.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Happy birthday.
Enjoy your day, Ben. Hope it's a good one for you. And our qualifier today, Amanda Hawks.
Happy birthday, Amanda.
Happy birthday. Congratulations.
Wishing you the best of days, Amanda. Enjoy and congratulations. You're our qualifier. Go ahead and brag to people about this, I say.
I qualified, man.
Yeah, it's something. It's something. You can hang your hat on. Let's take a look at our celebrity list. First up, Kiki Palmer. Wonderful actor. Password host and star of Jordan Peele's Nope. Also known for as Kim on MTV's Scream and Zendaya on Scream Queens. She was Gigi on Star and the star of Nickelodeon's True Jackson VP. I don't remember that one. I've only seen her in little bits and pieces, but I saw Jordan Peele's Nope about a year or two ago, and she blew me away. She was there's great actors in that movie, some really, really good actors, and she blows me away, like stole the show for me. I thought she was really good, and that is a great one to see. If you like suspense movies, if you like the old Alfred Hitchcock kind of like suspense type movies, not horror, just suspense, Jordan Peele's movies are a must. That one in particular, I really like that one. Dylan O'Brien is 33. Styles on MTV's Teen Wolf. He was Thomas in the Maze Runner movies. He's Love and Monsters or something like that it was called. He was in that and was really good. I had that movie on in the background, and I wasn't really going to watch it that much, and his performance really pulled me in. I like him. He's a good young actor. Brian Kelly from Florida Georgia Line is 39. Okay. We celebrated him with Cruise today. We played one of their first lead singles. But you can catch more tributes and more requests over on the Sunrise Show from 7 to 8. Join us over there for that as I pull my headphones out.
Yeah,
I can't hear myself right now. What am I saying?
Your ears don't work without headphones.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
It's funny. I really can't hear myself that well when I'm talking, and the headphones are plugged out because these really are good headphones.
Yeah, that's
right. They really do block the sound, man. Shout out to Beats headphones. They really do work. Chris Pine is 44. Wonderful actor. Mm-hmm. 44 for Mr. James T. Kirk in the Star Trek movies, or Steve in the Wonder Woman movies. Mm-hmm. He is enjoying a really good renaissance right now for his career, where he was supposed to be doing what he's doing now when he got the Star Trek role.
Yeah.
But they didn't really, they thought, we can't cast Captain Kirk for anything. So he didn't really get a lot of roles for a while there. That dipped down, and then he got the Wonder Woman gig and reminded everybody, Chris Pine.
Pretty good actor, yeah.
Not only a bad actor, but some of them are pretty eyes you're ever going to see.
That's
man.
True. Yeah.
He's got some beautiful eyes. And just a solid actor. Does a solid job. Mm-hmm. It seems to continue to work and push himself as an actor, too, and I respect that. Macaulay Culkin is 44 today.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
A fine actor. Very fine actor. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to be a jerk here or not. as a kid actor, I was not blown away by Macaulay Culkin.
Right.
I did not see what it seemed to be a lot of people saw. A cute kid and hit his marks, had some comedic timing, but I didn't see that much in everything. He did a movie later on in his life called Saved, where he's in a wheelchair.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute. Like, I was watching a movie for other actors. He was really good in it, though. I'm like, okay. And then everything I've seen him do since, he is a fine actor. Very good actor.
He's grown.
Yeah, he's really grown into the role. And good on him for, like, being here Like, it's such a low bar with child actors. Like, the fact that he, I'm sorry if it sounds macabre, but that he's here, that he's, you know, enjoying his life at 44,
as
that he's
adult,
doing,
right,
you know, all those things. That's actually really good to see, let alone that he's working and a good actor.
It's a rough road.
I didn't know he was a singer, too. He is.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Oh, neither did I. Wow.
That's a cool one. Good, nice catch, Melissa. Mike Coulter is 48. Luke Cage. He's also the star of a very popular show on Paramount Plus, Evil. But good actor. Good actor. He's great as Luke Cage.
He's 48?
I can't believe he's 48.
Wow, he does not look that old.
Man,
he's...
I look 10 years older than him, at least. And he's like a year older than me. One of the... If somebody told me this is the funniest woman in the world, I would not argue with them. It's not my pick, but it's not... I would not argue with them. I think she's in top five in my list. One of the most fearless actors I've ever seen, Melissa McCarthy, is 54 today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I like her a lot.
Ghost.
And not just because... she has my name.
And I don't like her just because she's from Illinois. Ghostbusters, Mike and Molly, Bridesmaids. I mean, all of these are great ones you could watch. The movie she did with Sandra Bullock, I actually really liked too. They were very funny together. But I encourage you, if you want to know what I'm talking about, watch her on Saturday Night Live. She's hosted, I believe, five times on Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
And every one of those, there are at least three or four sketches that she does something, then like, oh, God, is she okay? did she hurt herself? Just in a different parallel universe, Melissa McCarthy would have got her break on SNL because she is such a throwback to the Gilda Radners, to the Molly Shannons, the Sherry O'Terrys, these actors that are just fearless on that stage and will do anything to make you laugh.
Physical comedians. Surprisingly physical, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just so good at her job.
But you cannot forget the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, was she on? I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. She was on. Okay.
Yeah. She was the chef.
Oh, didn't know that either.
No. Very cool. Very cool. Melissa's really bringing...
She's bringing it today.
She is knocking us out with the entertainment facts today.
We're having a rough time. Yeah, it is kind of weird.
That one I actually knew myself. I didn't look it up.
Oh, okay.
Very cool.
Very nice.
Shirley Manson is 58 today. Garbage lead singer and songwriter. Man, a big fan of hers. Ah, Garbage
great
is
voice.
Awesome. Great band. Great band. And Valerie Simpson is 78 today. Another great singer. The sweetest half of Asheron and Simpson.
Yep.
Solid, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing. A lot of songs with ain't in
yes,
them. Yes,
and great songwriters, too. Before they even started performing, they were writing hits for other people.
Nice. Yeah. And a great character actor, Michael Jeter, born in this day in 1952, passed away in 2003. Elmo's mime-like buddy and the second Mr. Noodle on Sesame Street. He was also Father Egadius in Sister Act 2. Had a wonderful role as the guy who was terrified of squirrels in Patch Adams.
Oh, gosh.
If you see him, you'll know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Michael Jeter was one of those wonderful character actors.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrap up with Mother Teresa. St. Teresa of Calcutta, born in this day in 1910, passed away in 1997. Mm-hmm. One of the sweetest and most meaningful souls to walk our planet. And not perfect, as she would like you to know. She was not perfect. It was very important to Mother Teresa that people understood that she was a human being, that she was not perfect. She was not a saint. She was not any. She was a human being. Mm-hmm. That we are just lucky enough to live in a time where we're alive when she did the things that she did.
Yep.
We will have some else with Mother Teresa before we wrap up, though, today. For now, we're going to get to our timeout, take care of our news break and our sports break and our sponsors and partners and all that. We say a big shout out to all of our friends out there celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. Thanks so much for celebrating with us.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
When they open their doors tomorrow, we encourage you to head on over to El Cafe and visit them. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a great start to your week out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Get into an interesting topic here. I think this is a fair point, and I've heard this from a number of people really my whole life, actually. It's only been in, I'd say, the last 4 or 5 years that I've heard more and more people kind of calling this term out. A writer for Slate.com thinks we should stop saying the term empty nester.
Empty nester. Okay.
424-2600. When's the last time you heard anybody actually use this phrase?
It's been a while.
It's been a while for me, too. Yeah. But I will say that when I have heard it, it does seem to... There does seem to be like that when you're it wrinkles your brain a little bit, like that don't seem right.
It's a melancholy term.
Yeah, it is.
She thinks it's a subtle offense or even damaging term because, quote, the word empty conveys only absence. It's a word you almost never use in a positive way. Mm. She also thinks it's an outdated term because a lot of, quote, empty nesters don't really stay the way that way anymore. How many times have you seen a baby bird fly off, then come back 4 years later and stick around another decade?
I just want my kids to move out.
Just for the love of... The term empty nest has been around for over a century. It was coined in 1914 and came to describe a sort of malaise that can set in once your kids are gone.
Hmm.
She thinks it's time to replace it with a different term, but what would that term be? Hmm. Her suggestion was next chapter.
Okay. Yeah, that works.
Like, my kids are finally gone and I can move on to my next chapter.
Yeah.
The only problem is it doesn't really work as a noun. You can't say your next chapter, but is she right that it's a more positive one?
I'm right. Next chaptering.
Chapter, that's the verb of it, but yeah, that's interesting.
I am the next chapter.
Oh, my gosh.
I am chapter, hear me roar. No.
No, still doesn't quite work. No, you're trying. I give you marks for that.
I'm working on it. Yep. It's a work in progress.
Yeah, spitballing a little bit there. I think it's nothing wrong with a new, you know, phrase for that. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I've turned the page.
Yeah.
Or I'm embarking on a new chapter. I've heard people use that phrase. Book words, interesting, that refer to books. So, anyway. But because it kind of, a lot of them actually refer to that like, that's past now. That's over with. And the point is that, well, maybe, you know, your kids may have to come back and, you know, live with you for a while kind of thing. But I don't know. That's a good question.
I think it, excuse me, too. But I think it's relevant, especially right now, when people who don't have children seem to be a little bit under, I don't know, scrutiny.
Yeah.
If that's the right word for it.
Yeah, I think it is.
You know, and whether that is by choice or whether it is by circumstance, you know, you don't always have control over that.
That's right.
Yeah. And honestly, if there's a way to reword things to make them better, I don't see the problem with it. I don't know why anybody would be bent out of shape on the other side of this.
Right.
Well, I am a very big fan of that term. I use it every day. How dare you? I don't know how you can get bent out of shape out of this one. Oh, unless I don't know you have a political agenda and you're trying to distract people from the actual things that are going on in the world
that are important.
Wow. Yeah. Outside of that, I don't know. But it's a curious one. Let's hear from our audience. Good morning. You're on the show.
Okay, so yes, I'm running late. Hi, it's
Phoebe. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
I think for this conversation regarding the empty nesters, I will straight up say yes, I'm someone who has used this term, but I use it to reflect the mindset of the person I'm talking about, because they very much, when they're, and it's someone who I know very well, who I have seen go through the empty nester, you know, grief, my house is empty, what am I doing now, stage. And so it fit because it fit. I wasn't trying to be derogatory, it fit. And I kind of see that person about to go through it again, and it looks the same, so it still fits. I think it's important to use it with the correct intention and understanding of the meaning of it. Because, it's a sad term. It's a sad thing to watch a person experience.
Because it's such a transition in their lives.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. I'm not saying that is not an understandable feeling for them to have at any point, especially as a mom. Oh, my God, do I understand that's big. Because you devote your entire life sometimes. I've seen lots of women in my life, in my family, who devote all of themselves to their kids. And so when their kids leave, they're like, oh, my God, what do I do with myself? I'm not a mom right now.
All really good points. But, Laura, I'm going to need you to put a sock in it. We don't say that anymore. We don't say that term anymore.
That's true.
I'm gonna hit the hay.
Okay,
a point. I shouldn't have done that. We'll see you soon, Laura. Yeah. Thanks, Laura. Thank you. Great stuff, Laura.
Actually, thank you so much. I say hit the hay a lot. Still.
Do you? Actually,
I do. Okay. I still do.
I say that too.
I probably do too every once in a while. So we say that, but do how many people younger can we expect to know what we mean necessarily?
I also say I'm going to jump into bed. I never do that.
Oh. Since I was a little kid, I've been telling my family, oh, I'm going to go jump in the shower. And every time they would say, hey, but walk, don't jump. Don't jump in there, Jimmy.
Don't jump, you'll slip.
Every time. They love that joke. My dad especially loves that. But my point is only that, not to insult Laura, but to just to show that there are so many phrases that we might have used when we were little that we don't anymore. Every day, every life cycle, there is new phrases of different things. Things that come about and everything. So if we update this one, if we change it to new chapter, next chapter.
Yeah. Chapter two.
My hair can start. I can actually start to do what I want with my life finally. I don't know.
That's kind of a mouthful, but I like that.
To each their own.
Exactly.
And more so to the point, yeah. I think, of being a supportive society.
Yeah.
With anybody in all the different walks of life there are for other people out there. There's so many different people out there dealing with different things and walking through life differently than you.
That's right.
Being understanding and accepting of that not only is going to be beneficial for you, but for that person.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, put a sock in it, James.
I'll do that. I don't... Well, now how am I supposed
preferably
to go to
not the one you're wearing?
How am I supposed to go to break with a, you know?
What a song!
You know, we used to do this. We haven't done this in a while. I want to look that term up. I want to know where that came from.
Idioms. Yeah, we haven't done that in a long time.
We haven't done idioms in a while. I want to look that one up. We'll come back and we'll have some fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
You got my letter. You read it twice. Short breaths, long sighs. Might be a liar, might be a drunk, but I forgive you for your giving up.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It was really tempting. I was going to look up The Heat Is On from Glenn Frey and play that. It felt like it was a little taunting.
A little too on the nose there,
I didn't feel like that'd be a good call on mine. The idiom, put a sock in it, originated in the early 20th century Britain. The first known printed use of the phrase was in 1919 in London, based literally in a literary magazine, the Athenaeum, defined its meaning as leave off talking, singing, or shouting. It is believed that the idiom was coined sometime in 1919 or before, but why a sock?
Why a sock specifically? That's a good question.
It was an early form. Oh, while some suggested putting a sock in it was an early form of volume control for gramophones, the dates don't really add up. So the term is actually from the newspaper article.
That's pretty clever, though. I like that.
Yeah, because you can muffle that with the sock.
Right, you could do that. Yeah,
that's pretty good. Pretty good. All right.
By how British is leave off of something? Jeez.
Yeah.
Leave off of doing that.
Some people would agree lying to your friends should be avoided, but is this the type of lie that is accepted? A woman's TikTok is going viral after her friends made a dinner reservation, told her it would be at 8 o'clock. When it was actually 8:30. In other words, they knew she'd be late because she's always late, and it turned out they were right. She showed up at 8:22, and the hostess said that she was the first to arrive. So from an ethics standpoint, is this okay to do? One expert weighed in and said it's the best to avoid lying, but confronting a friend can also backfire and make you seem controlling. Mm. So maybe lying and tricking them, and I'm using air quotes for the lying and the tricking words, could work by shaming them into being on time.
Jeez.
Either way, people online seem less concerned about the ethics and more focused on how rude it is to be chronically late. One person warned... warning to her was next step is forgetting to invite you.
Oh, wow.
So they took this on that side of things. They went about that. They went at it that way.
Yeah.
For one, I think that, you know, this could, I mean, communication. You know, hey, why are you late all the time? Well, I've got 20 kids.
Yeah, right.
And I'm lucky to get out of the house alive, let alone on time. Or I slept in. Or I don't know what the reasoning is, but whatever it is, find out by, I don't know, asking your friends questions and yes. talking to your friends. Now, maybe they already did that, and this was the next step. I don't think this is a bad idea at all when you're talking about reservations and things that are on a specific time.
Right.
And if you really do need to be on point for these things, and you do what you got to do. You know your friends. I actually think this is the way that I see friendship, or that I have that many friends, or I don't know what it might be. But to me, I almost see this as a sweet thing. Like, this lady, it's almost considerate,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, well, I want my friend to be a part of things. I know that they're always late, so I'm going to work around that for them. Mm. And so I wanted to get together at 8, but, well, we'll make it 8:30.
Yeah.
And I'm saying all this with the context of you've already talked to your friend about being late and those things. I actually think that's a nice thing to do for your friend. Maybe I'm just looking at this from a weird perspective or something. That would not be the first time or the last.
nor will it be the last. Everyone seems to be taking that's the positive look at it. In my opinion, that's the better way of looking at it. So many people seem to take this like really negatively, and then they start blaming the person. Well, they should be on time all the time, kind of thing. It's like, what? They're your friends. You know, supposedly you're going to be giving some grace and stuff, and
right.
And if you know that person is always late, like you said, it is almost considerate to, I mean, it is not great to lie. Like, I would probably be more inclined to say, yep, dinner is at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell the friend that it's at 8, and the rest of the friends get together maybe for drinks at 8.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Yeah, you know, okay.
I like that.
Get it ready for Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That's really good. That's really good.
Because, you know, she's going to miss that part. Okay, that's fine. But at least she'll be on time for dinner.
For dinner, right. Yeah. That's not bad at all.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Hey, but then you can't tell her that the actual reservation is for 8:30.
No.
Yeah.
Which is still kind of a lie. Well,
and you could be honest about, hey, we're getting ready to eat. Yeah, we're getting ready to eat at 8:30. Be there. Mm-hmm. You're not saying, but we're showing up a half hour earlier for drinks. Okay.
I think that working with your friends, communicating with your friends is you always the best option.
Mm-hmm. Honesty is the best policy.
Because if she shows up and you're the first one here with the objective of shaming someone, I'm sorry. Shaming is a horrible. Horrible thing to do to people. I just when it's not called for.
Yeah.
In this instance, it is not called for.
No.
I think
just being late is not terrible behavior. It's inconsiderate.
I think shame is one of those cards that you don't play unless you have to. Unless all bets are
off,
everything else has been done. This is the last option.
Yeah.
Because if anything else, in part because how often does it really work? How often have you been shamed in your life and it actually benefited you?
Yeah.
We talk
as
about
as
this.
As opposed to having long-standing implications for you the rest of your life.
Exactly.
I don't know anybody who has ever been talked down to or shamed and they immediately were like, you know what? You're right. Actually.
Yeah. Thanks for shaming me.
Thanks for that. That we don't learn from that. We don't grow from that. I think that this is very important politically nowadays. When you have, whether we realize it or not, whether we like to admit it or not, or certain people will admit it or not, essentially there are we feel as American people who are not involved in politics but vote and are informed that we are living in a three-party society right now. And there is one party that all they do is double down. And they do not, that all that happens. And when that happens, you have a lot of other people in the other parties who are like, come over here, you know, this and this and all these things. And that particular person in that party is often shamed for being in that party and talked down to. And they, mm-hmm. in that party, do a very similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you notice I haven't used any words yet. So you can go ahead and you can turn this into wherever you want, but you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And you know the direction I'm going with this. And if you want those people that are in this part of this party, I didn't want to say this part of this party. It sounded really childish. It sounded like a little kid saying words. But if you want to reach them, you're not going to do it by shaming them. You're not going to do it by talking down to them.
Right.
By trying to reach across the aisle that way. That's not a reach. That's not going to do it. The way to do this is by talking, by communicating. Mm-hmm. Will it still happen? Maybe, maybe not. But the likelihood of it happening is a lot farther than it is of you talking down or shaming them. That doesn't work. All they do is double down. Yeah. All they will is go farther and farther into that.
Right.
Like any of us would. Like any of us, I'll admit it, I would. If I was in that particular position and you were talking down to me and you were trying to shame me for my feelings and my beliefs and everything, I could see the kind of person I am. You know, guys know me. I'm a rebel without a pause. Of course I'm going to go. Whether I'm right or wrong, I could see doubling down. I can see this. I could see where they're coming from a certain perspective. So I reach out. I talk. I am not interested in talking, shaming anybody. I'm not interested in talking down to people. This is the way we reach people. And that's incredibly vital the farther we go. Whoever wins in November, we got to live together. We're still going to be here. And the other side ain't leaving. No. Whoever loses, you know, quote unquote, loses. And God, I hate the winning and losing terms because nobody can lose an election. We got to change those terms. Nobody can lose an election. The American people made a choice.
Not a horse
race. That's the choice.
Yep.
We got to get better at reaching out to each other and being more understanding of each other
and
instead
listening.
Of being so quick to talk down to each other and use insults. That's what children do. If you go to a sandbox, that's how you hear little kids talk. We are supposed to be better than that. We have to be better than that. Mm-hmm. There is no option here. We have to be because those kids in that sandbox need something to look up to, need something to learn from.
They need to learn. That's right.
Yeah, need an example to follow.
That's right.
I would like to take this time to let the businesses out there know my soapbox, it doesn't have a sponsor. And if anybody ever wants to, James's soapbox time.
Sponsored by?
Yeah, you know, I'd be all right with that. I think that'd be all right. I could handle that.
Big stamp on there.
I wanted to touch on a couple of odds and ends here that I just thought were fun. A postcard that arrived kind of late. A postcard arrived at its intended destination in Wales 121 years after the date of its postmark.
Whoa.
Really snail mail.
That's really long time.
Yeah. I've never heard of one this long before.
No.
The Swazni Building Society said on social media that the postcard arrived at its Craddock Street, Swansea address with the rest of the mail on Friday, just like normal mail. The postcard was addressed to Lydia Davis, who employees theorized may have lived at the address back when the house wasn't a bank.
Oh, okay. All right.
Darby said, much of the postcard is unreadable now, but the postmark appears to bear the date of August 3rd, 1903.
Wow.
Spokeswoman for Royal Mail said that the story behind the postcard's late arrival is unclear. It is likely that the postcard was put into our system rather than being lost in the post for over a century. When an item is in our system, we are under obligation to deliver it to the correct address.
Hmm.
That doesn't really answer the question, though.
No.
What?
No. It's unclear, in other words. They're not sure where it came from.
Yeah.
Right?
But
yeah.
Can you imagine being that mail carrier and looking at that and going,
oh,
wow.
That's got to be awfully confusing. That's got to be kind of one of those things. Like, am I seeing this right? Am I looking at this right?
Yes, exactly.
And one last topic to wrap up the hour here, everybody. The owner of a Connecticut farm said three bison that escaped earlier this week came back on their own with a fourth bison in tow.
Oh, my gosh.
They found a friend.
Forming gangs.
Amanda Marseca, whose family owns 3B Ranch in North Bransford, said three bison escaped by knocking over a section of wire fence on Sunday, and all three animals returned to the farm on their own accord Tuesday night, just a couple days later, but said the returning bovines were accompanied by a newborn baby bison.
Aw.
What we've been kind of saying it was that the bison went on maternity leave. The Guilford Police Department hailed the return of the missing bison in a Facebook post. These flauntinators had a few eventful days out meeting and greeting the locals, learning about the rules of the road. Everyone knows buffalo have the right of way at every intersection now. Mm-hmm. And finally, they decided that it was time to take a nap in the comforts of their own pasture.
Yeah.
Shout out to that police department, man. Nicely done. Mm.
That's good. Oh, man, that's hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
So, wait, did they find the baby or did one of them have the baby?
Thank you, Melissa. Nothing.
No one answered that question.
Yeah, I've read three different articles on this now. And all great reporting. Shout out to Ben Hooper at UPI.com and some of the other reporters that worked on this one. But nobody seems to know where this bison came from. Somebody's missing a bison out there, right?
Like, you would think that the ranchers would know if one of those... once right. left was pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah. That's wow. That was the part of the story I thought, okay, maybe they really did. One of the bison was pregnant, mm-hmm. had the baby, came back with the baby. But that's not this is a calf that's been older. It's about a mm-hmm. year or two old or whatever. Oh. So
they did just find it then.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Like,
picked up an orphan. Hopefully. I mean, otherwise there's going to be some bison out there that's, where's my baby?
Yeah. Yeah. I love finding the follow-ups to these stories. I've got to hear the follow-up to this one.
A runaway teen bovine on the hoof.
I see a movie deal with 20th Century. That's what I see right now.
So I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that. Looking forward to that. And looking forward to the 9 o'clock hour. Not only are we going to kick it off with a special Kitchens Open episode, we got a really good one lined up for you. We're getting some entertainment news. Keanu Reeves signed a very interesting contract recently. Quentin Tarantino's one movie he refuses to watch, and Bruce Springsteen talks about farewell tours. All of that coming up for you, along with plenty more entertainment and fun on this show, the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.